This is GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. Reality TV star Khloe Kardashian recently came under fire for using the R word during an Instagram live stream.
God, dumb and dumber over here.
Are you retarded?
It said Kourtney Kardashian joined.
No, exactly.
Oh.
Khloe quickly tweeted an apology for using that word, saying that she actually hates it. Khloe, though, is just one of several celebrities who have found themselves in hot water for using terms that were once considered socially acceptable. So in today's socially conscious environment, what is acceptable and what's not? Well, for help on that, we turn to Erin Beacham of the Anti-Defamation League. Her focus has been on anti-bias education for the past 4 years, including the words that we use to communicate. You are the perfect person. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let me say, when many people have used the R word, retarded or retard, they actually tend to mean it in a more playful way with their friends or spouses. And many people have actually said, I would never call someone that's intellectually challenged that. But I'm wondering, does intent change the way we should actually see using these kinds of words?
Absolutely. I think as we are talking about the intent, and then we have to also look at the impact of the words that we have. So somebody may not have intended to be offensive or to use a derogatory term, but we really have to look at the long-term effects and also the short-term effects and the impact that those words have on other people. As they go unchecked, it just perpetuates those stereotypes and perpetuates those discriminations.
Perpetuates? How so?
I was actually just at a school the other day where a student said he heard "that's so gay" almost 50 times a day. And so, you know, these words are just becoming acceptable and part of our everyday language. And it really is having long-term effects on marginalized people.
Now, we mentioned Khloe Kardashian in the opening. What is the best way to address people with disabilities? Obviously, her sister, they're not intellectually disabled or challenged. And is that even appropriate to say intellectually disabled?
I would use the term differently abled. Hopefully that is a little bit more inclusive way to talk about, because people may not be able to do something one way, but they will learn to do it another way. And they find their strengths in different ways that we as able-bodied people may not have to think about, because that's part of our privilege of being an able-bodied person.
Now, I know I've been interested in one distinction, specifically when we're talking about, you know, people that look like me who are African-American. I've heard the question, do you prefer Black or do you prefer African-American? And I'm wondering, where do people land on that issue and how has that even changed over the years?
If you were to ask 100 different people, you would possibly get 100 different answers. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why this conversation is so important, so that we are having this conversation and that we are asking people how they identify. I think it's also important, if you've had that conversation with one person, that person is not speaking for the entire community. And I think that can be for the Black community, that can be for the LGBTQ community, whether we're talking about how somebody identifies, if they identify as gay or if they identify as queer. All of these are important conversations to have, but I don't think that one person can speak for an entire group. And so it really just depends.
So people have talked about reclaiming words like the N-word and queer, which were first used in derogatory ways historically. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on those kinds of words and how they're used?
It's so interesting, as we're talking about language, that even the use of the word reclaiming a word, as you even kind of look at that, in order to reclaim something, you had to own it to begin with. And so how does the gay community reclaim queer when it was used originally to oppress or to other? And so I can certainly understand how we can try to change the impact or change the power of a word, but even just looking at the power of using the word reclaim, and that just talks about all of the layers and all of the nuances as we're looking at language and the power of language.
So do you think that we are, as a society, too sensitive to certain words, or are we moving in the right direction, do you think?
You know, people say, well, like, everything is just about political correctness now. And I don't believe that it's about political correctness. I think it's about being inclusive. I think it's about being accepting. And I think it's about being respectful and understanding the long-term effects that words can have and the impact that those words can have. I hope that we're moving in the right direction. We are always asking people to be allies for others. I may not know somebody who is, And we can fill in the blank with a lot of different things, whether that is Black or Muslim or gay or Jewish. But if you know that something is wrong and you know that it is perpetuating a stereotype or discrimination in some way, that we should stand up for it. And so I think that we are seeing more and more people that are standing up against non-inclusive language or stereotypes. There are a lot of times that we do use non-inclusive language where we don't understand the history behind it or we don't understand the impact. And so it's important to have these conversations and to talk about it.
Erin Beacham is the Education Director for the Anti-Defamation League Southeast. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This is GPB Atlanta.